independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is a great plan. This isn't just a good plan. This is far better than Obamacare and more generous than Obamacare.
Well, CBO has scored you, and they said you get an F on that. This new great plan, 32 million Americans will be uninsured. 32 million more Americans will be uninsured, according to the CBO, by 2026. And your premiums will double. Now, I, being a person who finds the CBO to be a guesstimation at best, find that to be a bit laughable. But I said, let's just cut it in half. That's 16 million people, and your premiums could potentially rise by 50% of where they are now in 9 years. That's not good. I'm saying that they're half wrong, and that's not good. Not a good thing. Trump said it's a great plan. It's a better plan, more generous plan. That doesn't sound it. And I know people are texting in, Chad, why do you give the CBO any credit? I'm not giving them any credit. I'm saying they're going to be half wrong. I don't think they'll be 100% wrong. I don't think it's going to be 100%. I don't think it's going to be 200% wrong. I don't think 32 million more Americans will be insured. I don't think that at all. But I think we can all say, without being seasayers, that we're probably going to see a rise in our premiums as we move forward. I think we can all kind of feel that. You don't have to be, you know, again, you don't have to be some sort of like, I'm a fortune teller and I look into the future and what do I find? Oh, rise in premiums. No, that's we understand that. We'd love to see premiums slow down. We'd love to see them move at the rate of inflation. We'd love to see costs go down. We need to address those issues. And I'm saying the CBO's wrong. Half of what they predict will be wrong. Cut everything in half. That's still a lot. So you can understand why people are worried. Trump today speaking, had himself a little luncheon, tried to get everybody together, sing some kumbaya, do those kind of things, talk about Obamacare, talk about what a lie.
Obamacare was a big lie.
Lie.
You can keep your doctor, lie. You can keep your plan, lie.
You can keep your money, lie. That's President Trump, for those of you not keeping score who that is. I still, it's awkward to say. This is President Trump, but there he is. Lies. Lies. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that the Republicans have a spine, because I don't think they do. And I think that, you know, to me, the biggest issue I have seen the entire time they have debated this is there's a lack of vision. A lack of vision. They don't have vision to see that they need to do something big and bold and think outside the continual lobbyist box, the Washington, D.C. beltway. And this is how things have always been done, so why break them? We'll continue with tradition. Even though we don't want this thing, we're going to have to come up with something. And nobody has any vision. Maybe it's because they've been there too long, but a lot of it's because they just don't have vision to try to find a way to slowly and steadily back out Obamacare and to slowly and steadily start to put things in place for a system that fights cost and ridiculousness of cost, that bridges the gap between the patient and the provider. Nobody has the vision. And the ones that do probably don't have the stomach, the intestinal fortitude to take it on. So here's where we are. We're standing here months after President Trump was elected a Republican, House run by Republicans, Senate more Republicans than Democrats, and we're sitting here and they can't get anything done. Most unproductive Congress in 164 years. Think about that. 164 years. Unproductive. You're unproductive. How is this going to affect the economy? Because a lot of small business owners were hoping that this was going to get did, and it ain't getting did. Never thought about them apples, did you? Oh, and let's not forget, right? Let's not forget that there's still other things out there like immigration. Two bills have been passed in the House. They're down at the Senate. What are you doing with them? Can you get this done? Let's not forget that there are tax bills out there and a reform. And can we get that done? Are you going to stay unproductive the entire time? Is this a once-off kind of like thing? Or is this something we should get used to? I'm curious. And now it's almost recess time for them to go home. They said they were going to stay a little bit longer to get this done, but I don't think they want to. But the old president here is thinking, yeah, maybe we should stick around.
We have to stay here. We shouldn't leave town. And we should hammer this out and get it done.
Hammer it out, get it done. Hammer it out and get it done. That there is the question. Can they hammer it out? Can they get it done? I don't know. I think they lack vision. And I think without somebody who's, and I don't think it's Mitch McConnell. I don't think it's Mitch McConnell. He doesn't have the vision. I don't think it's Paul Ryan. He doesn't have the vision. It's going to have to come from a different voice. It's going to have to come from somebody who's ready to take the lead and realize that they're putting themselves at risk. And that they may falter. I don't know. 844-DIG-CHAD. 844-344-2423. You can text the program as well. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. John?
Hello.
John and Indy, what's happening?
I'm wondering how you get off bashing the Congressional Budget Office. I mean, they nailed it with Obamacare. It's controlled by Republicans. I think you just grabbed that number out of your backside. And
what do you mean?
Question is,
what number? 32 million?
No, you said just halved it with no.
No, I'm just saying, let's just say they're half wrong, because everybody's going to come out and say they're full of crap and that they're wrong and that's the fight that everybody makes. I said, let's just say for the sake of argument that they're just half wrong, because it's still a guesstimation.
Well,
that's what government does. They throw out a guesstimation. I said, let's just say for the sake of argument, they're half wrong, John. That's still 16 million people, and your premiums still are going to go up by 50%.
Well, there's no reason to think they'd be half wrong. They were right on Obamacare. They're right most of the time. They put serious effort into it. It's a serious thing. We pay a lot of money for it. And my question is, and I've heard this before, it's not rocket science. The other 30 modern countries in the world, all of them cover all their citizens. Every one of them covers all their citizens. But yet the United States, the most powerful, richest country the earth has ever known, somehow we just can't figure out how to do it.
I mean, we can figure out how to do it if we want to, but are we willing to pay more taxes? And that's what you have to ask yourself. Are you willing to pay more taxes? And are you willing to go into a VA-type-like situation? I lived in National Health Services when I was in Great Britain, John. Let me tell you something. It all sounds amazing until you're taxed at 45%, and it all sounds amazing until you're really sick and they tell you they can't see you for 6 weeks.
It has nothing to do with the taxes we pay. You guys have been whining about, put some cost controls in it. Let's start negotiating pharmaceutical prices.
I agree. I agree 110%. I'm ready to negotiate. I think it's crazy. I think it's ridiculous. And I also think that it's ridiculous the way that we look at the FDA as the end-all to be-all. And for us to get a medicine through, it takes $2 to $6 billion for a company to go ahead and do that. When you look around the world, it doesn't take near the amount of time to get any of these things through. There's a lot of things that we could do to bring the cost down.
The pharmaceutical companies are doing just fine. They whine, no doubt about it, but they're doing just fine. But you got the Republicans are in charge. They've had 7 years. I mean, what in the world are they waiting for? And now they say they just need 2 more years. I mean, it's preposterous.
I mean, I agree. They dropped the ball. They dropped the ball in this in a long way. But you know what? You're going to get your wish. If you want single-payer system, it's coming. But here's something you don't understand, John. I don't think many people do. Single-payer system's going to come, and what you're going to find out is there's going to be a lot of people who are going to opt to go to a private health insurance, and guess what? You're going to see a gap in the coverage that's going to be massive between the haves and the have-nots that you've never seen before. I did it when I was in England. I finally went, and let me tell you something. I hear a lot of people say, oh, you don't understand. I understand. I understand what it's like to be taxed at 55%. I understand what it's like to wait and have to come to America when I'm sick because I can't see my general practitioner and I lose 22 pounds in about 8 days. I understand what that's like. So, yeah, so you know what? I've been there. It sounds great if you get really sick, if you have a heart attack, you break a leg, that's fine. But there's a lot of things that I think a lot of people don't understand. And you're going to get your wish because sooner rather than later, we'll have a single-payer system. It doesn't mean that's the only system, but it is coming. Appreciate your call, man. Thanks for listening. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. We travel. We all do it. We love it. It's amazing. I love road trips. I love going places, seeing things, like the world's biggest piece of corn. That's amazing. But what I don't like is when my car has issues. The cost of car repair nowadays is ridiculous. CarShield, Standard Vehicle Service Protection, is the absolute best in the business. And I mean that. I have, you know what? I talk about, you know, a lot of things. And people always ask you, do you believe in the stuff? I said, you should see the stuff I turn down. I turn down far more than I take. And CarShield is one of those things that I stand by. They're great. 24/7 roadside assistance. You get a rental car while you're waiting. Here's something that's absolutely incredible. You pick the mechanic you want your car to go to. They take care of the rest. You don't have to front the mechanic anything. They handle it all from start to finish. It's what's incredible about CarShield. Save yourself thousands in potential car repairs. Do what I did. Go to carshield.com/Benson. Save yourself 10%. Sign yourself up for extended vehicle service protection. You will be happy you did. Call 800-CAR-6100. That's 800-CAR-6100. Use code Benson. Save yourself 10%. Or go to carshield.com/Benson. Save yourself 10%. A deductible may apply, but you will be very, very happy you did. Oh, man. What is next in the world of healthcare? Next, Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
A lot of people started asking me yesterday, texting me, IMA, what's next for my healthcare? Right? Because that's a big thing. What's next for Obamacare? Well, what's next for Obamacare is you got Obamacare. You have Obamacare. So what you have today, you will have tomorrow. What you have tomorrow, you will have a month from now. What you have a month from now, you'll have for 6 months, a year from now. Nothing is going to change. Nothing drastically is going to change. This is where we're at. And even if something took place yesterday, it's still a ways away before things start to happen. The wheels of government turn slowly. What's next is, I said it before we went to break, to John. We're going to get a single-payer system in this country. We are. And people say, we're a capitalist country. Somebody says, hey, we're capitalist, not social. We have a lot of social programs. We do. And I know what it's like to pay taxes through the nose. And I know what it's like to be in a situation where you have to wait. And no, I don't think you should go bankrupt. And no, I don't think you should have some bureaucrat or some numbers pushers telling you what you should and shouldn't be able to have based on your pains, because they're going to come up with something based on a code inside of a book. But what's next for healthcare is eventually we're going to get to a single payer system. Doesn't mean you're going to be on it. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a choice at other things. What people tend to forget, though, it's hard to tell a doctor who makes $400,000 a year who's nut is $35,000 a month to just survive that he's now going to make $150,000 a year. Don't work that way. Doctors will find a way to flee and go do their own thing. Doctors will find a way to do stuff. And as far as, you know, when I look at things like medical and health and the way that we do things, there are plenty of things that we could do to bring down the cost. I love the thought of negotiating in the pharmaceutical world. But if you really want to bring down the cost of all of this stuff, if you really are serious about it, then you get rid of the lobbyists. It's a big thing. You start to deal with regulations and stop overregulating. You start to give people the opportunity to put things together that will benefit the patient and themselves in a more capitalistic way. But there's so many rules and so many regulations and so much ridiculousness involved in this. And it's not a one size fits all. But somebody's going to have to think outside the box. And there isn't anybody there who's willing to take that chance in D.C. or anywhere else for that matter. Because government, it's about control. It's a sixth of the economy. That's big. That's really big. What's next? The same old same, at least for a little while. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-444-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Daniel Greenfield's going to join us next. He's got a great article out about fake news and Trump and the fake news Trump era and how CNN was starting to become fake news long before Trump came along and how Zucker, the guy who runs CNN, is kind of turning CNN into infotainment rather than just information and news and how that affects us going forward. Text the program 323-538-2423.
It's the Chad Benson Show. The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
He screams it all the time. It's fake news. It's fake news. It's fake news. And you know what? More often than not, we find out that it is a lot of fake news. Joining us now, he's a blogger. He's a columnist, a Shillum journalist fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Daniel Greenfield joins us. And I love your article, Trump's War on the Big Boss of Fake News. And it looks like it's Zucker versus Trump in this battle. Explain how this came to be.
So once the... Once it was really clear that President Trump was going to be the next president of the United States, CNN rushed to throw together a CNN Investigates unit. They took the so-called investigators from BuzzFeed. They brought in the New York Times' lead guy who was doing the Trump-Russia hit pieces. They brought in a number of other guys, and some of these people were Pulitzer Prize winners, Pulitzer Prize nominees. They were serious, supposed people. And CNN rolled them all together. This was the unit that was going to go after Trump, and now this unit is in big trouble. Three of them, including the New York Times guy I just mentioned, had to resign because of a fake news piece aimed at Trump. BuzzFeed got in trouble with their own messy investigation. So CNN's unit is under fire, and their war on Trump is not doing so well.
You know, David, one of the things, and somebody tweeted at me earlier, because I've got a poll up, not a poll, but I've got this great article that shows the difference between what we care about compared to what the media cares about. And obviously, their coverage of Russia is ridiculous compared to what we really care about it. But a person said, look, the thing about the media that's supposed to be great is they're supposed to be able to hold our leaders accountable. And I said, yeah, that's great, except for when they don't like the leader, they can shape the stories as they want. And that does a real disservice to the real media out there who should be out there doing their job and holding our leaders accountable.
no accountability because effectively the media has become a fairly open branch of the Democratic Party. They're doing the Democratic Party's messaging, so they don't actually hold anybody accountable. They're just opposition research. CNN, Washington Post, New York Times are pretty blatant about being opposition research. They don't hold Democrats accountable. They go after Republicans, and that's not accountability. That's partisan messaging.
It's crazy. We're talking to Daniel Greenfield, a Shulman Journalist Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. And you look at CNN, and CNN is the most blatant of them all, New York Times, New York Post. But you want to think that there are good journals out there that are trying to toe the line, even though they may be liberal or progressive, but they're there to report the data. And at the same time, though, it's so hard because CNN and the New York Times and the New York Post are so blatant in your face about it that you start to think that everybody is nothing but fake news.
Yeah, this is why people have stopped trusting the media, and you can't blame people for not trusting the media in a situation where, again, the media is not even trying to pretend. I mean, in the past, it was bias, and bias means that you kind of shape which things you report. We're no longer in biased territory. We're in blatant advocacy territory. We're going to bring down Trump because we don't like him territory. That's really where it is. And again, it's proven to be very successful for the media. Before we had MSNBC, and then CNN kind of tried to operate and maintain the center ground. Now CNN is very blatantly pushing that. They're now looking to be even more radical than MSNBC. And this is paying off because you have a certain partisan left-wing viewership and readership coming in. The New York Times is profitable for the first time. The Washington Post is profitable for the first time. CNN is doing well in the ratings, but at the same time, they're alienating the majority of Americans.
Yeah, they are alienating, and it's about, to them, it is activism journalism more than anything else. In saying that, though, you look at that, and I sit there and I laugh because as much as they have a disdain for Trump, they need to thank Trump every single day because he makes it interesting for them. God knows what it would be like if they had Mike Pence, because I doubt they're going to want to, you know, cover him meeting anybody or talking about his puppy.
Yeah, for them, Trump is the golden goose. They're trying to kill him, but at the same time, they really don't want to kill him. So they're stuck in this kind of paradox where they have to be seen trying to destroy Trump. But at the same time, if they actually destroy Trump, they would pretty much go out of business shortly afterward.
Talking to Daniel Greenfield from the David Horowitz Freedom Center. You know, you look forward and you look at the media, Daniel, and it's crazy out there because, you know, all sides have their own. You go to the Breitbarts, you go to the Foxes. We know which way they lean. We understand that they're unabashed about who they are. You also want to think at some point in time that we're going to come back to some normalcy. If we lost that opportunity to have an unbiased media across the board, and now you're just going to have to search for the news and do your homework if you want to find out the truth?
I think that's pretty much is where we are. We've lost this kind of respect for objectivity, for this public dialogue, and we're seeing in a bunch of things. When you have protesters who prevent conservative speakers from being able to speak on campus, when you have this kind of no platforming, when you have calls for safe spaces, that means we're not going to actually coexist. We're going to shut up everybody who disagrees with us. And this is how the left operates. Now it's how a lot of things operate. And you have people in academia making the argument there's no such thing as truth. There's no such thing as objectivity. You know, if you have no such thing as truth, then how can you have any journalism?
Trump's war on the big boss of fake news. Great article. Zucker has it out for him. I mean, let's be real. It is a battle of kind of, you know, two guys who are willing to stare this thing down. Trump has done something, though, that other presidents and other leaders haven't done, and he has decided to circumvent the media. Does that drive them crazy? To me, I look at it, that's got to drive them crazy, because he can deliver a message now because of social media to his followers, to his supporters, that they don't need the media anymore. And I think that's giving a lot of people who are thinking about running for office a way of saying, look, I don't need you like I used to. And that has to make them angry.
It makes them very angry. It makes them feel very threatened. To some degree, already Obama began to bypass the media, which upset them, though obviously because Obama was their savior, they couldn't really say a lot about it. But this was very much an issue. He was bypassing them. He was forcing them to use his own photography. He was bypassing them on social media. And now Trump took that to the next level, and here it's very blatant because Obama was their pal. Trump is very much not their pal. Things are coming to a head. Really, the media's institution makes no sense. It made sense, you know, when we had the Telegraph, when you really had to wait a week for the news in some cases. But it makes no sense in the age when everybody's just got a phone and you can click and you can see what's there right this second. So the media's institution makes no sense a lot of the time. They're just doing garbage footage. They're covering viral videos. They're pushing whatever latest viral trending story is breaking. And just the attacks on Trump are a desperate last attempt to make them seem relevant.
You know, is it also partly on us because we now, it's no longer, we don't want the news in a way where somebody sits there and reads us the news and we get a soundbite here, a soundbite there, and we move on. Is it also the fact that the competition is so great that you have to deliver infotainment and guys and gals who were once journalists now have to be opinion makers because for them to stay relevant, they have to be more than just somebody who talks about, the who, what, when, and why, and they have to be their own personality.
That's definitely a factor, and CNN actually was a major issue here. When Zucker was brought on, this was part of it. He was brought on to do infotainment. He came out of the Today Show. He came out of NBC Entertainment. And his goal was to just water down the journalistic component of CNN. Again, he did that. And really, a lot of the mainstream media is going that same route because the goal was to the second. The goal is to constantly entertain people. But also, again, just as an institution, they have less relevance, so they have to be entertaining because what they're producing just matters less.
Yeah, and, look, I live in a world where I tell everybody I'm not always, right and wrong doesn't matter. Am I entertaining? Am I interesting? Because if I'm not interesting, you're not going to come back. Somebody can be, they can give you all the great data they need, and if they're boring, people aren't coming back to us. And I think part of that is our consumption of we can go anywhere, get our news how we want it, which I think is also another thing that's changed over the years, Daniel, is we can go consume news how we want it. So what do I care what CNN does? If you're on the right, I'm going to go to Fox anyways.
Yeah, pretty much. So everybody's just trying to lock in their own demographic. They're trying to get somebody who's going to tell them exactly what they want to hear anyway. And that's kind of creates an echo chamber, creates a bubble. So the left has spent months now listening to the media tell them that Trump is going to be impeached. And so there's a demand for Trump impeachment stories. And so the media rushes out more and more Trump impeachment stories. And it's kind of, there's this kind of a feedback cycle. And some Democrats at the top are trying to slow this down because Trump is not going to be impeached. You have Nancy Pelosi telling Democrats, slow down on this. But you have other Democrats who are just riding this. And this creates its own imaginary world in which a lot of Democrats are now thinking that, yes, Trump is going to be impeached. I have Democrats asking me just when is Trump going to be impeached. They're living in this reality where that's going to happen. And the media is feeding them this.
It's just crazy. Talking to Daniel Greenfield, he's a blogger, columnist, a Shulman journalist fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. You look at the young people that are coming up today through journalism, and again, you're supposed to be objective, you're supposed to be somebody who is, there's no bias, and you're supposed to just report, and maybe somebody becomes an investigative reporter, but this is what it is, and you tell the truth. Is some of that now changed so much because people now no longer have to do those kind of things that they once did to become a journalist, if you will, because you have the freedom to be a blogger or to do stuff online? And is it also just, that we no longer have that kind of feeder thing where you go through college and then you go work at a local paper? Now it's you go through college and you do what you want and automatically you're a journalist.
Pretty much. There are very few standards, but also the whole idea of journalism has been progressively dismantled, no pun intended. So when you have the mainstream media just pushing agendas all the time, then they're hiring people who can push agendas, and the main standard there is being able to go viral on social media, and the people who can go viral on social media are not necessarily the local journalists who spend 10 years on the local crime beat hanging out at the police station and interviewing cops and suspects. That's not the criteria anymore. It's the people who can have this hot take on a late-breaking story. It's the people who can be snarky and sarcastic. And those are the qualities that the media values, especially in print. They value personalities. They value people who can stir up controversy, who can make you pay attention to something. So that's what we're getting.
Flash forward 5-10 years from now, Daniel, where do you think we're going to be as far as the media and journalism? Is journalism just a thing of the past and that's a word we can put inside of a museum now? Is that where we're headed?
I think there's always going to be people who call themselves journalists. I certainly call myself a journalist, but at the same time, the significance and the meaning of all that has changed a great deal, in no small part because, again, our society has changed a great deal. We don't really have this kind of national dialogue anymore. What has become the media used to be a kind of a forum, a way to bring us together, to have a dialogue. You would have perspectives from both sides, and you have less and less of that anymore. What the media is now is basically a forum for people to hear themselves talk, to hear smarter, more polished, more sophisticated versions of themselves say the things they would like to say. So liberals have the media as their forum. Conservatives have some of their own outlets. So there's this larger segmentation. We don't really have any common ground. And this is what's happening to America as a society in general.
You know what? I've read some of your stuff. It's very interesting. We appreciate you coming on today. He's a columnist, Shillman Journalist Fellow at the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Daniel Greenfield, thanks so much for coming on, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You know, I blame a lot of this, though, on us. You know, we want infotainment. You know, that's what I tell everybody. Look, I'm infotainment. I'm going to keep it simple, stupid. I'm going to give you facts, not feelings, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. And, you know, I've got people who are progressive. I got people who are conservative to listen to me, and I think that's a good mixture of things. But, you know, when it comes to the hardcore news, you know, you come to me for opinion. For them, you know, I think too often than not, people go to CNNs and the Foxes of the world, and they go there thinking this is news, when a lot of times it's not. It's infotainment disguised as news, and it's opinion-tainment disguised as news. Maybe better to describe them. But it's not changing. And now that we can get the news the way we want it, just like we want our burgers, we'll go find them the way we want it. We'll get it. This is what's going to happen. And I think there is going to be a large swath of people who want the truth, but they don't want to go and spend hours trying to find it. And that's the frustration that when I talk to a lot of people that they find. They want to know what the truth is based on the data and the things that are inside of stories. What they don't want to do is have to read four different articles from four different sites to put that puzzle piece together. Text the program 323-538-2423.
323-538-2423.
Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality. With a twist. Say what?
What? Sao Paulo. Would you, to avoid traffic, take a helicopter? Well, Uber has changed the way we have ground transport. Now, there is a subsidiary called Voom. This is Airbus's subsidiary. It's called Voom. V-O-O-M. And it's great, man. Traffic in Sao Paulo, just tell you how bad traffic is. How about this? At peak hour, traffic can be backed up almost 350 plus miles. $150, though, you can take Voom and go from one side of the city to the other in about 9 minutes, saving you several hours. Yeah, I would say it's a good thing. Voom is booming, and this is a brand new air venture launched by Europe's Airbus. It's taken a page out of Uber's marketing, put clients above it all, at a competitive price. It's about $150 for about 9-10 minutes if you want to go about 20 miles. And for people who are commuters and you're there for business, it's definitely a win-win. Say, what? The most boring in the movie of all time? Maybe, said even one of its producers and creators. It is an 8-hour epic movie of sheep in slow motion with no dialogue, no narrative, no actors. Nothing. Just sheep in a field in Essex. That's it.
It's slow motion.
Baba Land consists entirely of slow motion shots of sheep in field. The film was shot in Essex and was produced by the founders of a digital meditation app called Calm. They said, we don't expect it to break box office records, but we believe there's at least a niche audience for it. I don't know what niche audience you're looking for. Now, while this may be boring, I do think there is a film that is supposed to come out later on this year that is actually a Swedish film of paint drying. if I'm correct, and it's hundreds of hours long. It's like an eight-day film. It's just horrible. I don't know who does this and thinks this is a great idea. I don't know. I mean, it's not hard. I mean, you could go today and you could set up a little camera for 10 hours and watch horse run around and say this is a calming effect of horse or cats and say this is it, and there you go. You gotta. It's not expensive to film anymore. A couple grand, you can get some pretty damn good equipment that can film some pretty good stuff. It's just that somebody said, hey, that's a great idea. Let's film sheep. And I think their whole thought process is you will relax and you will count the sheep. It's funny. Producer Peter Friedman said in a statement he believed it could be the dullest movie ever made, and we hope that audience will, too, find it the dullest movie. Bob Land is the latest in an example of niche genre called slow cinema, which takes long takes with no dialogue. How about that, kids? That's the world we live in now. Long take, no dialogue. Text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's big in places like Sweden. I do know that. Norway. The slow stuff. Big. Huge. Massive. Not here yet. We still like people screaming and yelling. I'm just letting you know. Say what? Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.